Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. It is good to be back home. After driving around 2,500 miles last week, it's good to be home. It's good to be able to sleep in my own bed. I know we all understand that, don't we? Go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 this morning as we continue our series on what would Jesus preach. And certainly, in asking that question, we're always going to have to go to the Sermon on the Mount, to where Jesus was preaching, and to see exactly what he preached. Hope that you're having a wonderful weekend. I hope you're having a wonderful holiday with your family and friends, and hope if you're traveling, we pray that you have safe travel to and from your destination. We're always happy to have visitors. We have several here this morning. We want you to know that you're our welcome guest, and we hope that you'll stay around and let us get to know you better. You know, we are coming down to the end of what the section that we call the Beatitudes. We have this week, and then next week we will finish that group up and move on to some other aspects of Jesus' teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount. But today, we come to the verse 9 where it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Now, I think this is one that we've kind of just applied a small definition to, and we kind of move on, and we don't really pay attention to the gravity of what is being said here and the gravity of what such people are called. For we all seek, as children of God, to be those sons of God, to be called that. You know, John says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." That's 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. But I believe that this is what all the other Beatitudes have been leading to: making peace. The word that Jesus uses here for peacemaker, "Blessed are the peacemakers," that word is only used this one time in all of the New Testament. This is it. Yet Jesus includes it here and says that such people will be called the sons of God. You know, I think this morning I want us to consider three ways in which a person can make peace. One way is that we make peace with other people. You know, there are just some people out there, right, that just want to cause trouble. You ever known that person? That they're not happy unless they're stirring it up. They don't seem to be happy unless they've got a problem that they're having to either tell you and everybody else about, or that they themselves are stirring the pot with their own hands. But they just love a good problem. They just seem to have their most excited days when they're talking about or in the middle of some kind of mess. They're just troublemakers. That's what we call them, right? We go, "Well, that person's just a troublemaker." I want us to consider for just a moment the opposite of what Jesus says here. He said, if we took the opposite, it would be cursed, right? Are the troublemakers, for they shall be called the sons of the devil. I don't want to be that. But that's the only thing the opposite of that can be, right? If I'm not a peacemaker, then I'm a troublemaker. And I don't want to be that. I don't think you want to be that this morning. A disciple of Christ is not to enjoy or abide having bad relationships. And this is especially true when we're talking about the brotherhood, when we're talking about the family of God. In fact, it's not that we should just be discouraged from having bad relationships in the family of God. We're not allowed to have bad relationships in the family of God. We are brothers and sisters. And no more than parents, as you, any of you that are parents, like it when your children fight, neither does God like it when His children fight. And He makes it very clear to us that He expects us, people who are living as He would have us to live, that are taking on the attributes that He has, He expects us to do right with each other. There is a brother and sister, or if there are brethren that cannot get along, do not have a good relationship, let me tell you something, folks, somebody's wrong, and maybe everybody is. But nobody, you know, you can't look at a situation where there is ruptured relationships between brethren in Christ and say that everybody's right, because it's not possible. Love doesn't allow it, God doesn't allow it. And we'll talk more about that in just a second. You know, we are to seek to have kind and loving relationships. And it is only through such relationships that we have any chance of helping others find salvation. I can't help people find salvation if I can't have a good, loving relationship with them. I can't encourage you and help you get to heaven one day if me and you are not having a good and loving relationship. And you can't help me either. That's why it's so important. Love, compassion, mercy, righteousness. These are all attributes of our Father in heaven. These are all attributes of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And they are to be the attributes that are within us, and yet they are attributes that at the end of the day naturally lead a person to seek peaceful relationships with other people. You know, when we look just a little bit further, Matthew chapter 5, we jump over verse 22. Well, verse 23, he says, "Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you." So you're on your way, bringing this to modern day vernacular, you're on your way to the worship service. And you remember that someone, your brother, y'all have a ruptured relationship, that you do not have the kind of relationship, kind of loving relationship that God expects. That's what he's talking about here. He says, "Leave your offering there before the altar and go first. Be reconciled to your brother, then come and present your offering." God says, "I want you to be right with each other when you come and worship me." And you notice he doesn't say, "Pray that your brother will come and make peace with you." He doesn't say, "Wait till your brother comes and makes peace." He says, "You go." You know, as we've looked at these Beatitudes, you know, one thing we've noticed, right, even when we talked about merciful, he's not talking about the other person. He's talking about what I do as a disciple of Jesus Christ. You're on your way and you remember that. You go fix that. Matthew chapter 18 talks about fixing it, doesn't it? Where Jesus there is talking about our forgiving of others. You know, how many times do I forgive a person? Well, basically, Jesus' answer is every time they ask. That's a tough one, isn't it? It goes along with blessed are the merciful. But in that, Jesus says to us, Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, "If your brother sins against you or offends you, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother." Your brother does something that offends you, you go and you talk to him. Why? So I can show him how bad he is? No! So we can make peace. So I can win my brother. Because I want my brother to go to heaven. And if he has wronged me, he needs to understand that. Maybe he doesn't even realize what he did. Maybe he didn't realize what it did to me, how it hurt me. And I'll go through and I'll be all mad and angry, and he doesn't even realize why I'm all mad and angry. And all I needed to do was what God said, right? I had a lady that one congregation, she always came out and teased and talked to me at the door. I teased her quite a bit. We had a good relationship. But I noticed about two Sundays in a row, she went out the other door. I saw her. I thought, well, now that's just odd. And so on the third Sunday, I chased her. Chased her right out to her car. I called her name and she just went on through the door. I know she heard me. She went on out to her car. I said, "You need to tell me what's going on. You haven't even come over and talked to me, and now this is the third week." And she said, "Well, I came up to talk to you 2 weeks ago, and you turned around and talked to someone else." I said, "Do you know how many? I don't see everybody standing around me. I just kind of turn and go. This hand's just a-flying." I said, I certainly wasn't ignoring you. Oh, she could have saved herself a lot of misery if she just made a little, came to me and tried to make peace that first Sunday, right? Said, "Hey, this morning you didn't talk to me." No, she spent 2 weeks upset and trying to sneak out. We just need to do what God says. It makes life a whole lot easier, doesn't it? She didn't have to be that. You know, when we look at Romans chapter 12, Paul is talking about having right relationships, having peaceful and right relationships. Verses 4 through 5, he talks about the body. He talks about it also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but how the body is to work together. He's using the human body as an example for us. And how that if the human body doesn't work together, it doesn't work. You know, when we have physical problems that make parts of our bodies not work right, it messes up everything, doesn't it? When I broke my ankle and I had to walk around, my that leg wasn't working right. It also messed up my back, you know, because I was walking funny, right? It messes you up all over when one part doesn't work right. You know, it's sort of like the story about, you know, one day the hands of a body got mad at the stomach. I'm sick and tired of putting food in the mouth to go to the stomach, and he never does anything for me. I'm not going to do it anymore. And the feet said, you know what, you're right. I carry the stomach to the restaurant. I take him to the kitchen and so he can get food, and he never does anything for me. I ain't going to carry him nowhere. Mouth says, you guys have got it right. I actually chew all that food. I send it down there to him, and what does he do for me? Nothing. And so the hands didn't put food to the mouth wouldn't chew, the feet wouldn't go. Pretty soon the stomach grumbled a little bit, but he finally stopped grumbling. He got weaker and the hands got weaker, right? The feet got weaker and the mouth got weaker until they all died. Because a body can't work like that, can it? This is the human body has to work together to function and to be strong. So do we. That's what Paul talks about at the beginning of chapter 12. Verses 9 through 10, he says this, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another. I prefer you. I promise you, if we started giving preference to one another, a lot of the little silly things that we're mad at each other about go away, right? Because a lot of those things just have to do with me and what I want, and that you're not doing what I want, or you're not saying what I want you to say, or you're not being the kind of, you know, you're not doing this for me or that for me, and it's all about me. I'm not giving preference to someone else. It's humility at heart. It says, verse 13, to meet people's needs, to show hospitality. Verse 16, he says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Pride and haughtiness is what stands so often in our way of having peaceful relationships with each other. So many people cannot make peace with others because they are held back by their pride or their bloated opinion of self-worth. Verse 18 is where he really sums it up. And that calls on peace. He says, if possible, so far as it depends on you. See, now this isn't about what the other person does, but what you do, what Nathan does. Everything that you can do on your side of the equation, right? So far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. It's not about them. It's about me. Am I a peacemaker? Am I doing everything I can to be at peace with you? It's about our actions. But I don't think this is the ultimate meaning of what Jesus is talking about. Certainly not the whole of the meaning of what Jesus is talking about here when he says, blessed are the peacemakers. Because even what Paul says here, there are people out there, my friends, that you can't make peace with. So he says, if possible, as much as it depends on you, I can do everything in the world to try to make peace with someone. Have you ever done that? And they go, I don't want to be nice to you. I don't want to be your friend. I don't want to have a relationship with you. So it has nothing. You know, I can't control that at the end of the day. I can only do everything I can. But at the end of the day, the other side has to come too in order for there to be true peace. That's especially true when we're talking about people in the world. Some people just simply refuse. But Jesus said that this type of peace is having a good relationship with everybody. Jesus even says that that's impossible. He even says that's not even what he came to accomplish at the end of the day. We look at Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 35. Jesus says, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. You know, when Paul says, if possible, as much as it depends on you, you know, the possible there is that there's a limit to where we can go, right, as children of God. If somebody says, Nathan, you're going to have to say that my sinful actions are okay for us to be friends. I can't say that, can you? It's not possible. And continue to be a disciple of Christ. There are people that I love very dearly. They're members of my own family. I love them with all of my heart. And they don't want a relationship. Because I won't tell them what they're doing is okay, because I can't tell them and still be okay with God. That's what Jesus was talking about, wasn't it? We have to stand when people don't like it. We have to stand for what Jesus says, and at times that's going to bring us to conflict. So ultimately, we can't make peace in those situations. We can only try to bring them to the peace that God offers. But at the end of the day, they have to come and want to have peace and a relationship with us. So their response is beyond my control. And folks, Jesus Christ, was there ever a person that would have been a greater peacemaker than our Lord and Savior? Being perfect in all good things, he was perfect in the idea of being a peacemaker. And could he make peace with everybody? No. The very fact that a large crowd cried, crucify him, and men nailed him to a cross shows that you can do everything possible, and some people still will hate you. This kind of peacemaking is a characteristic of God. Don't misunderstand me when I say that this isn't the whole of what Jesus is talking about. We need to understand that this is a characteristic of God, though, that we are living in our lives. It is endeavoring to make peace with those that might have no desire for peace. Folks, God is trying to make peace with a lot of people that have no desire today, and we want to be like God. They may not want it, but we're going to offer it, and it's going to be out there at all times, just as we talked about mercy and forgiveness. That is living like Christ. That is being his disciple. But I think that Jesus means more when he calls us to be peacemakers. Another way in which we might think about peacemaking is peace with self. Sometimes we cannot find peace within ourselves. Maybe we cannot forgive ourselves or find peace in knowing that no matter what this life throws at us, we can trust God to take care of us. You know, you can take a child and they go to the doctor, or there's a storm, you know, and they're so scared if they're by themselves, right? But you bring mama or daddy in, and they're not as scared anymore, are they? Because there's a faith that mom and daddy take care of me, right? Mom and dad won't let anything happen to me. And that gives them strength. That gives them peace in difficult times. And we too, you know, at times maybe the reason why we're not at peace with ourselves is because we can't forgive ourselves for what we've done, even though God may have forgiven us. But also it may just be that we've forgotten the God we serve and that he takes care of us. If we just remember that, we'd find peace. Not that everything's going to be okay out there or in our lives, but that no matter what is going on, God knows and cares. And he's there. You know, we look in the Bible and we certainly see Peter, after so boldly stating to Jesus that you're wrong. That's what he said. Jesus said, you're going to deny me. You're wrong. I will never deny you. But just hours later, I don't know who he is. I swear I don't know that man. And then Jesus looks at him as he's being carried away to another trial. Can you imagine that look? And it says that Peter went out and he wept bitterly. At that time and at that moment, Peter didn't know peace. He only knew incredible sorrow in his life. Peter, though, returned to Christ. Returned to him and served him. And this allowed Peter to know peace once again. Peace from the sorrow and the self-loathing and the disappointment of his denials. He was able to find peace again in Jesus Christ, even though he did that terrible thing that night. The Apostle Paul. Can you imagine the thought that ran through his brain when Jesus said, why do you persecute me? Who are you? I am Jesus. Oh, Can you imagine the thought that flashed through his mind? Can you imagine the pain? Never thought about the prayers that Paul prayed those 3 days waiting for Ananias to come. Can you imagine the pain he felt? But can you also imagine, for just a moment, here's a man that says, I have literally been killing the servants of God. Thought I was doing right, but I wasn't. And now I know. You know, even later in life when he's talking to Timothy, and he says that Jesus came to save sinners. He said, I'm the foremost of them all, and I am the perfect example that God will forgive anybody, right? He still remembered what he did. Can you imagine how wonderful he felt and the peace he felt when Ananias says, you can arise and wash away your sins? Can you imagine? I figure he spent 3 days in prayer thinking it was hopeless, only to hear the gospel of Jesus, that there is forgiveness. That you can find peace again. Paul found peace in his faith and his service to Christ that he once persecuted. You know, this type of peace is valuable, and it's certainly desirable, but I think Jesus is still commanding something deeper. In fact, we only know this personal peace with self when we are peacemakers in the next way that we're going to discuss. And this is our last point, is that we are peacemakers, that we make peace with God. Got to make peace with God. I think that while we seek peace with men and self, ultimately we are about making peace with God. The previous two are impossible without this one. Living in sin, we are the enemies of God. You know, I know we like to somehow water it down. We don't want to make things sound quite so bad. We're politically correct. That's just too black and white. That's just too extreme. But it's just too biblical. James chapter 4 and verse 4 says, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 says, for if while we were enemies, that's before we became children of God, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. When we come to God, when we reconcile, that is making peace with God. That's what reconciliation is. That word reconcile literally means the exchange of hostility for a friendly relationship. That's what that means. It is making peace with God. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 21 through 22 says, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. When we come to Christ, we are no longer hostile toward Him. We are no longer crying, crucify Him with our sins. But we are making peace with the Savior that died. We make peace with God through Jesus Christ. Salvation is the peace that we must ultimately make if we are to be called sons of God. For only those that come to Christ. John chapter 3 says, and are born again, where? Into the family of God. That take the love of God, as John says in 1 John chapter 4, that we can be called the sons of God. They are His, those that have given their lives to Him. Back in Romans chapter 5, all the way back to verse 1, says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified how? By faith. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, by obeying the gospel. We are justified and find peace with Jesus and God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 14 through 16, it tells us that Jesus is our peace. Verses 17 and 19, or 17 through 19 says, "And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household." You know who lives in the household? Sons and daughters. The family. We are truly blessed as peacemakers when we first make peace with God through faithful obedience to Him, born again into the family, into the household of God, as Paul says here in Ephesians, into the family. I continue being a peacemaker. I make peace with God, but I continue to be a peacemaker. It's not a one-time thing. I continue to live my life to stay at peace with God, to be right with God, but I also continue to be a peacemaker by helping others find peace. Not just trying to make them feel good. I hope you feel better. But that you can feel saved. Know you're saved. Because you've done what God has said. And I'm a peacemaker because I'm helping other people find the same peace that God has given to me. I must do that. To go into the world and help people find peace. I want you to understand that we're called to help people make peace. But there's also another other side to that. That those that don't help other people find peace. Jesus said, if you cause one of these little ones to stumble, and he's talking about his children, God's children, the family of God. If you cause one of these little ones to stumble, it'd be better for a millstone to be hung around your neck and you'd be tossed into the sea. See, everybody around you this morning needs this peace from God. Some struggle to have it. Some struggle in their daily life. What are you doing to help them? Are you doing anything to help anybody? If you're not, you're not a peacemaker. Peacemakers help people find peace. And the truest peace and the only real lasting peace is a peace that we find in God. The peace that passes, as Paul says, understanding. This is what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Notice that Paul said he came and he preached what? Peace. Near and far, he preached peace. The peace of God. Now that's what it means to be a disciple of Christ, to seek and to save that which is lost. Me first, and then I go into all the world that others may know the peace that only comes in my Lord. You know, I've been looking at the Beatitudes. That's what men have come to call them. But peace is all through them. See, I bet you thought this morning I wasn't going to go through them all again. You're wrong. Because they all tie together so beautifully. And I told you at the beginning of the lesson that they've all been pushing to this point. It's all about coming to Christ. It's all about knowing peace as a disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, blessed are the poor in spirit. That's making peace with who I am spiritually. I'm bankrupt. I need God. Blessed are they that mourn. That's making peace with what I've done to my God and my Lord. Blessed are the meek. That's making peace a possibility by controlling my life. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's knowing where to find peace. He preached peace. It's a message. Blessed are the merciful. The willingness to make peace with others that have wronged us. Blessed are the pure in heart, understanding that peace can only be found outside of duplicity and hypocrisy. There must be sincerity. And what we'll look at next week, we will see that peace is not affected by the circumstances that are around us. You know, people say, boy, my life's a mess. I just can't find any peace. The peace that Christ is talking about, the peace that we read about in the New Testament, isn't affected by what's going on around you. It enables you to deal with what's going on around you. But it's not affected by it. You know, men have called this particular Sunday Easter. It's not in the Bible. And I hope we don't only think about a death and burial and the resurrection of our Lord only one day, one Sunday a year. For how sad would that be? Every Sunday we remember what our Lord and Savior, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we remember His death. Now, I will grant, unlike Christmas, which isn't probably anywhere near the actual date, it's based on biblical evidence, just aside from some variances that might be between a lunar calendar and the solar calendar that we live under, this is probably pretty close to the weekend of these events. That our Lord died on that Friday nearly 2,000 years ago. He was buried by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. That on the early, before the sun rose on a Sunday morning, He did rise. Folks, He didn't do it so that we could just come together and celebrate Easter one time a year. He did it so you could have peace. For we find peace, Paul told the Colossians, in the death of Jesus. That's why He did it. So that we can have peace through His death. This morning, make peace with God if you need to. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you have not done those things that God has commanded within His will, know that you are in opposition to God. You are, as the Scriptures say, an enemy of Him. You don't want to be an enemy of the most loving God there that you could ever hope for. There's no one in this world that loves you like God loves you. No one in this world that will ever do for you what God has already done for you and wants to do for you, if only you'll make peace with Him by obeying His will this morning to be a son or a daughter of God. In that you will truly be a peacemaker, and in that you will truly know peace that passes all understanding. If we can help you with that this morning, we hope and pray that you will let us. If it is to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, come believing in Him. Believing in what He did when He died, that you might have peace. When He rose, that peace might end one day in heaven as we go to God in the resurrection. See, the resurrection is about living this life has an end in heaven. Without a resurrection, that is not possible. But He died to make peace. He rose that we might know that that has an end in heaven with God. Believe that. Repent of your life. Repent of what you have done that has been away from God, that has been in contradiction to God. Live right. Live as He would have you to live. Live according to His Word. Confess Jesus as Son of God. Tell everybody about Him. Proclaim it publicly at the time of your obedience, and proclaim it every day as you are light and salt in this world. Be buried in baptism. To be buried just as Jesus Christ. You know, when we think about peace through His death and His burial, that's how we get there. We die just as He died. The old man dies. We bury Him in water, and He rises, as Romans chapter 6 says, to walk a new life. Just as Jesus Christ rose glorified. And we rise having made peace with God. Having been born again of the water and the Spirit. Having become sons or daughters of God. Hope and pray that you'll do that. This morning, if you're a child of God, maybe you made peace at one time, but you have left what God has said. You haven't been living as a disciple of Christ. You haven't been following Him as you should. You're no longer at peace. You need to be reconciled. You need to come and repent of those things. If we can help you with it, we want to do that. You need to confess those sins and know that God is faithful and just to forgive you. If we can help you, if we can pray for you, if we can strengthen you, we can help you find the peace of God. We want to do that. Won't you come as we stand, as we sing?
My angels sing your heavenly praise.